You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, January 3rd, 2025. Grandpa Dan streaming with you, radioalbion.com. If you're older like me and you still write checks from time to time, you're going to have to struggle, you know, on getting that 25 on there for a little bit. Younger people be like, checks? Who writes? Now, don't get me wrong. I don't write checks at the grocery store, but I do write checks to pay certain bills, and I have to write it out. It's very, very funny because you run into younger people, and I don't mean like kids. I mean people like in their 20s or maybe even really early 30s, and they'll have to ask you, well, how do I fill this out? Is this the right way to do it? It's all a vast conspiracy. To make me feel old. Well, I did manage to get us. We are obviously managing to get a show to you today. It didn't last Friday because I didn't like it. Hopefully today's show will come out much better. I'm not bringing specific news stories today. I'm just going to kind of wrap up some of the big topics. And we've had some big stuff this past week. Obviously, we're into a new year. Before I get off into all that, I'm still following the airline crash in Korea story, and it's still early. There's not a whole lot. They did recover the data and the voice recorders. They've been damaged, but they said the damage is going to be they're going to be able to work around that and get the data off. It'll be interesting. Everything right now, from what I can see, points to the pilots just freaked out, and basically that's probably what got. It's looking possible within the realm of possibility now that when they had the bird strike on the one engine, they freaked out and shut off the wrong engine. I can virtually guarantee you it's going to be a pilot error thing. And again, I know everybody wants to pick on Boeing and it's deserved in a lot of these cases. This isn't a Boeing thing at this point. This is it's going to be a pilot thing. Also, I saw that, you know, the airline is Korean Airlines. So, of course, they've been running the plane way over maintenance schedules and a lot of the stuff you would expect to see. I wouldn't be surprised because it's South Korea. Wouldn't be surprised to find out if it comes out later that, you know, it actually hasn't even passed some of the safety stuff. And they've just been bribing off the government officials. That's how it's a South Korea thing. You wouldn't understand. But I am keeping up on that. I'm going to keep passing them along. We're not going to do whole shows on it, but I'll keep passing along the information for those of you who are interested because I find it an interesting story. But of course, we live in this age of constant media cycles, you know, and they'll go hard on a story and then it's old news after a day or two and they go on to the next story. And you wonder, well, whatever happened with that? It's a topic I personally find interesting. I'm going to stay up with it and I'll just kind of keep you all up to date. Because I know it won't be really in the news cycle any longer. Of course, the big news, we already know what the big news for this past week has been. And you know, if we think information is slow and forthcoming over something like a airliner crash, you know, this whole business here with these terror attacks, I'm going to call them that. I'm using finger quotes here. The whole thing stinks. The whole thing stinks to high heaven. So, of course, we're going to get in conspiracy land here a little bit because, as I've pointed out before, you have no choice. We don't have the information. So, we have to theorize a lot. So, there's, you know, I guess you could say it's, I guess I feel necessary to point out that most of the discussion on this, as it is with everybody, whether they get to be on mainstream media or on a humble podcast such as this, is going to require theorizing, because there's, the information is very sketchy and a lot of it is like, now, like with every one of these stories, we can always safely, we do know from the track record, we can start off with the assumption that the media slash the government is lying to us. I mean, that is the go-to, because that's the track record. We know that's the case. So we can start off from there. We know they're lying to us. Now, they may not be lying to us about everything, but we know they're lying to us. Now, I think we have to talk about the two incidences, the truck running over in New Orleans and the Tesla explosion at the Trump Hotel. I'm going to talk about these more or less as being directly related, because I find it hard to believe otherwise, and I'll get into why that is here in a minute. So, but we'll start with the New Orleans thing, and it, right off the bat, the mayor of New Orleans says it's a terrorist attack. Then the FBI spokesperson comes out and says, no, it's not a terror attack. And then after a while, they get their story straight, and yes, indeed, it is a terror attack, complete with an ISIS flag hanging on a hanging on a flagpole. Now, there's a lot of inconsistency. Some of that, you know, if you're being fair, you know, details are flying around. People are trying to get, you know, the scoop, so as to speak, and you wind up with a lot of conflicting information. Some of that's normal, but some of this is definitely it's definitely not normal. For instance, they made a big point immediately after to tell everybody that they found bombs planted around, and they were like 3, 4, even 5 accomplices. This guy was not working alone, and I mean, the FBI is going hard here, because this guy was not working alone. As this was a coordinated terror attack. There's improvised explosive devices involved, the whole nine yards. And now today, he was a lone guy. He was a lone crazy working all on his own. Interesting. Another interesting aspect is both of these people allegedly involved in these incidences were military veterans, which may be one of our clues as to where they're going to go with this narrative. When you see these things go on and it sets off your glowdar, I just made that up in that moment, the glowdar. Because when you see these incidents, you read about, you hear about, you see them on TV, and they set off your glowdar, they glow. This isn't some kind of operation. It's like biblical prophecy. You see, people look at prophecy and they think it's supposed to give you like a prediction of the future. But prophecy is always meant to be understood in hindsight. You look back and say, oh, wow, you can see now how the prophecy came true. And it's going on. None of the people realize, hey, this was prophesied and it's coming true. It's always understood in hindsight. These things, they're understood in hindsight. We won't really understand them until we see what sort of narrative gets framed up around. That's what we're waiting for. I made a joke, not a joke, what kind of? Not about the incident, obviously. I'm a much classier person than that. But right after, before the Cybertruck, the Tesla truck thing happened, it was right after the New Year's Eve, you know, the ISIS terror attack thing happened. I made a remark to Dr. Johnson. I said, do you want to get in on a bet before how long before they blame Iran for it? You know, because that's just such an easy place to go. He wasn't game for the bet. He didn't want in on the action. These things have to be understood after they get a narrative wrapped up around them and they tell you a story. They're forming up, they're setting these things in place to tell you a story. And when you understand the narrative, then you better understand what all is in play, maybe a vague idea of what actors are in play and so forth. Right now, there's no way to know because they haven't given us a coherent narrative yet. When it was just the ISIS attack. I'm like, they're going to find a way to blame Iran. They were going around saying there were accomplices. Oh, this was an organized thing. We're going to blame Iran, and this will help set up the narrative for the next Middle East war. Now, with the Tesla truck thing and at the Trump Hotel, I don't know where they're going. It looks convoluted, but I believe they're absolutely related. It is way too much of a coincidence that this happens so close together. I mean, they're not. As I always, you know, I always like to say, there's no such thing as coincidences, just plans other people make that they don't tell you about. There's no way it's coincidence these two things happen together. Now, you know, it turns out, like I say, the narrative with the New Orleans thing, the guy had an ISIS flag. Yes, he was a military veteran, and, you know, he sympathized with the ISIS. And now it's come out that the guy with the Tesla truck, you know, he was apparently had been sent to Ukraine, was involved in the U.S.'s meddling, their operations, shall we say, in the Ukraine. These two have something very, very much in common. Do you see what it is? You probably do. I think y'all are pretty sharp on these things. Everybody who pays any attention, except for NPCs, but people who pay attention, everybody knows ISIS is CIA/Mossad. I mean, that's been known for a lot of years. ISIS is CIA/Mossad. Do we have to point out when they were treating these guys in Israeli field hospitals during the Syrian conflict years ago? ISIS is CIA/Mossad. So when they said, oh, this guy's ISIS, it would have been like turning on the news. And they said, so this guy associated with CIA/Mossad just did this terror thing. Likewise, the other guy now apparently was involved in U.S. operations in the Ukraine. At least that's what it's looking like at this point. And once again, U.S. operations in the Ukraine equal more intelligence agency stuff. So you see a connection here. ISIS is a U.S. intelligence operation, and virtually everything going on in the Ukraine, as far as the U.S. side, is going to be related to the U.S. intelligence agency. So you already have a somewhat connection with these two guys. A bit threadbare, admittedly, but you could see a tenuous thread of connection here just for these intelligence, the intelligence angle of it. And they're selling this as, oh, you're supposed to be confounded and confused, these terrorism. Now, as far as like the FBI being a little unorganized at the beginning of this, these agencies don't necessarily coordinate beyond what they have to. So you get the FBI coming out there, and they start throwing out stuff like not terrorism, not at all. And then all of a sudden it is terrorism and there's accomplices. That's because, if again, we're theorizing here. It's all we can do. We don't have the information. They aren't going to give us the information. But I think it's reasonable to say that if you have an intelligence operation related to this, the CIA, just, you know, assuming it's them, I don't know. But say, just for sake of argument, if you got the CIA running this operation, they're going to go to the FBI and tell them in advance, we're going to do this, so y'all need to be ready. Here will be the narrative you need to do. They're not going to do that. It's because it could throw a wrench in the works. So, you know, the information, it gets shared sparingly and late. And I think it explains why you have some of this convoluted narratives with the press conferences. Like, it's, you know, there's accomplices, there's not accomplices, it's terror, it's not terror, it's terror again. Now it's ISIS. We got the whole ISIS angle. And so when you understand, they don't necessarily, they're not working together hand in glove. They're not going to share beyond what they absolutely have to. Now, another interesting detail here that's pretty much a lot of people, virtually everybody, has pointed out, aside from the mainstream media, they don't have any interest in pointing out anything except whatever the government says. But a lot of people have pointed out is both these incidences involve these electric vehicles, you know, the Ford Lightning electric pickup and the Tesla truck, which adds the element of these can be basically remote control driven. That's an interesting element, especially when it comes to the second incident, the Tesla truck incident. That one, to me, stinks to high heaven, more so even than the first one. But again, we know they're related. There's no way they happened within this close of a time proximity. This is a planned operation. To what end? Again, I don't have any idea. We have to wait to see. When we look back and see what narrative they finally settled on with this, then you understand what the point is. But that the second thing, the Tesla truck incident, it really, I mean, this thing really smells to high heaven. Now it comes out that the guy was shot in the head. Of course, they're saying, oh, he did it right when he set the thing off. But, I mean, again, it's a Tesla truck, so it can be driven remotely. How do we know that? Well, the government's telling us, and we know how trustworthy they are. Maybe the guy did shoot himself in the head. Then again, maybe he could have theoretically been killed beforehand and the vehicle just simply driven up there. And this very crude, very lame explosive bomb attempt. And we'll get into that here in just a minute, which is another interesting aspect of this. I mean, this guy was military. Not just military. It's not like he was just a desk jockey. He was like special ops in the military. Another big red flag that's very interesting. And yet, when it came time to make a improvised bomb in his Tesla truck, the best thing he could do was throw some gas cans and fireworks in the bed and light a fuse. Come on now. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't. But if I wanted to make a bomb, I mean, I could do better than that. You know, I mean, all you have to do is read up on the Oklahoma City bombing and you can figure out how to make a bomb. I mean, you can get on the internet and figure out how to make a bomb. But it is going to be a lot more sophisticated than some gas cans, camping fuel, which is basically kerosene, and some fireworks. I mean, what the hell is even the point of that? When it came out, when I saw that they said the guy was shot in the head, of course, the first question I had, like many of you, was probably, okay, when? You know, they want you to assume that, oh, well, he did it right before he set the thing off. It really struck me. The first thing that hit me is it reminded me of the whole Chris Kyle thing, you know, the guy from the American Sniper movie or whatever. When the Boston Marathon bombing happened, because Chris Kyle was running he'd set up basically what amounted to a PMC, private military company. And when the Boston Marathon bombing happened, I remember seeing photos and videos and stuff, and the people obviously wearing the insignias from his PMC were all over these videos and these pictures. You can see these guys with the Punisher hats on, and that was what he was using as an insignia. And these guys were all over this Boston Marathon bombing, and people at the time that were looking into this were like, what are these guys doing here? Why were these guys all over the place? That question never got answered, by the way. But what did happen is Chris Kyle was just out at a gun range over here at Glen Rose, which is fairly close to me, by the way. He went out to a remote gun range with a disturbed veteran. And you see, and by the way, Chris Kyle was knee deep in spooky stuff, aka intelligence people. That's where he got the funding to set up his PMC. But he happened just to, after all that happened, he decided it was a good time to go out to this remote gun range with this guy who had a lot of PTSD and problems. See, he was helping fellow veterans out. And why this one lone crazy guy who had the look of all of these people. Yeah, you can't see the look I'm making. That's why, because it's a shame sometimes we don't do video. He had that same look. And he was out there with this guy, and this guy just happened to shoot him in the head. this guy who had all this military training, been to combat multiple times, just got caught unaware and shot in the head by this one lone crazy guy who was quickly apprehended and disappeared from the narrative. That was a nice wrap up. When I heard that this guy with the Tesla truck was shot in the head, it, for whatever reason, that really just, it popped in my head, and remembering the whole narrative as far as, you know, Chris Kyle went. Again, these things by themselves, you can't put a lot, but you look at all of these little deals, because as I say, they're not going to tell us, so we have to theorize. So you take all of these little fragments of things and you kind of put them together. It's like having a puzzle, but three quarters of the pieces are missing. So you throw what little pieces you have out there and you try to figure out what the puzzle is a picture of. That's what you're left doing. And again, this guy being shot in the head was another puzzle piece. And it's like, that's a handy thing. When was it? Since we know these trucks, these Teslas can be driven remotely, there are a lot of other things. And you get into this stuff, and some of it winds up, you wind up having to chunk the information. You start off, you're going, hey, this looks pretty suspicious here. And then as things go along, you're like, okay, well, yeah, no, we'll take that piece and throw it out. That one's no good. So you expect to see some of that. When this story, the Tesla truck part, when it first broke, I mean, I found the whole thing suspicious. I saw a number of things suspicious, and I'm not sure. You know, we're just grasping straws, you're looking. For instance, there's a video of this thing blowing up and the smoke billowing out. This thing's on fire, smoke's billowing out. In the back of your head, you have to remember that we live in a day and age with AI and computer generated images. I mean, they can show you a video of anything. You know, I mean, that's, we have to know that. They can show you a video of anything. You can't just assume, well, there's a video of it, it's real. I found it really suspicious. One of the initial things I found really suspicious was they show us this video and this huge fire erupted with this thing and flames are billowing out. And then later, during the press conference, they showed this video of these firefighters pulling this tarp off of this thing. For starters, there was no smoldering, you know, no smoke smoldering out of this stuff. It was just like completely out. But what I found interesting is in the video, they're showing the truck while they're pulling the tarp out. And you look up because the thing was over an overhang in front of these doors. And there's no soot. Have you noticed that? There's no soot on the ceiling, because the thing's under a ceiling, because you could pull up to the door so you're not in the rain when you're going into the snazzy Trump hotel. And there's no soot on there. How was there this giant fire and there's no soot on the ceiling? No soot anywhere around. It really looked to me like the thing had been hauled in there, unloaded, a tarp put over it, and action. I'm not saying that's one of the more far out angles. I mean, look at, but again, we have to remember, video doesn't mean anything. They can fake that. Another thing I found interesting is, you know, where is everybody? I don't know if you've ever been to Vegas. I've been to Vegas one time in my life, many, many years. This was back in the 90s. I went to Vegas. I'll never go again, by the way. I didn't leave nothing in Vegas. You know, you go one time, say you went. Depending on what your tastes are, yeah, it wasn't my thing. But anyway, I've been to Vegas. And let me tell you something about Vegas. There's the Strip, where all these hotels and the casinos and everything are. You go two blocks off the Strip, and the place is a shithole. I mean, Vegas is an absolute... A lot of, if you haven't been, you don't know. That one of the first things people will tell you is, don't go off the Strip. Because you go two blocks off the Strip, and it is... You might as well be in Detroit, Baltimore. I mean, it's a shithole. It's everything you might imagine when you describe it as such. But on the Strip is a different story. When on my one trip to Vegas, one of the things I remember, I was walking down the sidewalk. And here's another thing. It is wall-to-wall people on the Strip all the time. Basically 24 hours a day. it is wall to wall people. There's Asian tourists there. I mean, it's just, there's people everywhere. It is mobs of people. And again, this is curious to me. In the videos, they're showing us, where are all the people? Where's the doorman? Where's the valet people? You know, these places are busy. They have a valet service because parking, there's no parking on the strip. They have garages offsite, so you pull up to places like the Trump Hotel. And they have people that work there. There's a bunch of them. And they provide valet service. You pull up there and they go park your car somewhere because it's offsite. You can't just park there. So where are the valet people? I found that very curious. During my one trip to Vegas, I'm walking down the strip and I walk past one of these big hotel casino places. I don't even remember which one it was, but I'm walking along and there was a bum laid out on the sidewalk, which was interesting because I already knew the rest of Vegas is that way, but you do not see those people on the strip. They have an unspoken rule. You go be homeless somewhere else. You don't go on the strip. That's why they tell tourists, stay on the strip. Don't wander off to see the rest of the town. You're not going to like it. But I see a bum on the sidewalk and everybody just kind of walks around him. And I will probably at the most 50 yards up to the entrance of this hotel casino. It was Vegas, so it's hot as hell. So I'm like, I'm going to go in this hotel casino and cool off. As I turn to walk into the hotel casino, two guys in suits come briskly walking past me. And I went in, cooled off for just a minute. And when I came back out, homeless guy was gone and the suit guys were walking back in. In other words, the security was on it. And this guy wasn't in front of the doors. He was down the way, but they picked him up on the cameras and they weren't playing. Two security dudes that you wouldn't want to mess with. They had that look. They were out. And that guy was disappeared in just, say, the 5 minutes of cooling off I did. They were on top of it. And during all of this, swarms of people. I mean, there were people just everywhere. And yet in this video, there's none of that. No soot on the ceiling, no security guys, no valet service people, nothing. This guy just pulls up there. There's no one around. So, yes, I'm not above the idea that the thing was brought in. They could have closed it off and claimed it happened, brought the thing in a truck, unloaded it, and then set up and filmed all of this. I'm not saying that's what happened, but it's within the realm of possibility because I just found a lot of things there that I found really sus. Again, if you have a fire, you know, especially one that's enough to like burn, you know, it's melting paint off, it is burning stuff. That thing's going to smolder for a minute. And they pull this tarp off. There's nothing smoldering. There's just everything. There you go. Very sus. Very sus. But again, we live in an age to where we know, you know, they can fake this. I'm not even saying that's what happened, but we do know it's in the realm of possibilities. It's always tempting to shake our heads and say, nah, that's too far out there. And maybe it is. We're theorizing. We're just kicking things around. But it would be disingenuous, to say the least, to pretend like it's not within the realm of possibility. They can fake this. We know they have the ability. I mean, they could just CGI it and make a film of this happening. But again, that's not to say that's what happened. I don't know. But I do find it curious, though. On the one hand, you have this film of this roaring fire from this thing and all of this smoke billowing off. And then on the other, they're showing you videos of the thing after the fact. And you have this white ceiling over it with no fire soot on it at all. Again, we don't know. I do believe these incidents are absolutely related. There's an intel thread there. And again, there's no way it happens within this close of a proximity, one incident to the other, where there has to be some sort of connection. Now, with the first incident, the New Orleans incident, you know, the narrative looks pretty obvious. Oh, he's an ISIS, you know, and he has a Muslim-sounding name. The second one, you don't have that. So you don't know. It's like, well, what what exactly is the narrative they're going to wind up giving? We just have to wait. We have to wait to see what story they're going to thread together and sell to us. You know, these are the props being put in place. They haven't given us the script yet. It's like watching, if you were able to sit in a theater and watch them set up for the play, and you're watching and you're trying to guess what the play is going to be about because you have no idea. You're sitting in this theater and you're watching the stagehands set everything up, and they're dragging these props out, and you're watching them set the props up, and you're trying to wonder, well, what's the play going to be about? What's the script? You're just trying to guess from the different prop pieces that are being put in place, but you have no idea what the script is, what the play is going to be about. You have to wait. You have to wait until all of the actors are in place. You wait until all the actors are in place and they get the narrative all lined up and the media starts announcing this is what happened. This is the narrative. And we're not going to know until all of that comes together. And then we'll have a better idea about some of these details. Then we can scratch some things off and discard them. Some other things we can go ahead and say, yeah, that was probably the case. And we could start looking at them and using a little bit of reasoning and say, well, it looks like this is probably some of what, you know, actually happened. I will say this, talking about the Trump Hotel thing, and not even the window, the glass doors, you know, gaudy looking glass doors there at the Trump Hotel were damaged from this. And they tried to say, they were coming out and saying that's because the Robo truck, that's because the Tesla truck is so robustly built that it just protected the people. And the first thing that popped in my mind is I was picturing the planning for this operation and the Trump people being like, do you know how much these doors cost? You know, is one thing y'all are going to do this, but these doors are expensive. Who's going to pay for that? So you're going to have to, trim some of this plan back. There ain't going to be no driving through these doors. These doors are very expensive. We can't, you know, people being run over at a street party. Who gives a shit? But these doors on this fancy hotel, those cost money. You're going to have to improvise on your plan a little bit. You're going to have to go back to the drawing board on some of this because those doors are expensive. You know how much business the Trump Hotel could lose if a bunch of people get killed at the Trump Hotel. So you're going to have to revise your plan accordingly. As far as this other operation where maybe a bunch of randos are going to get run over on the street in New Orleans, yeah, it's whatever. Tough luck for them. Who cares? Who cares? That's just it. Doesn't it say something to where, I mean, you could say that and instead of just discarding it, you have to shake your head and go, yeah, I could, you know, you nod your head and say, yeah, actually, I could totally see that conversation happening. I could totally see that. That's totally plausible. I could imagine that. I could imagine that happening. We got to save these doors. They're expensive. Go ahead and run over all the randos you want to. We need it for the file footage. I watched some videos of normies and, you know, reacting, you know, like to the Tesla truck thing, you know, and I watched somebody, you know, and they were like, well, we just got the news. They hit us. We've been hit. And it's just like, man, you know, we may have to guess, but at least in our own defense, we are at least looking at the puzzle pieces and trying to figure out what line of bullshit they're trying to feed us. Then you look and see normies and they're shaking their head going, my gosh, the terrorists have already hit us. They've hit us in Vegas. They've hit us in New Orleans. What are we going to do? The terrorists have hit us. And I think, you know, it might be tempting to get discouraged when you're trying to sort through what few puzzle pieces you have and figure out what line of shit they're trying to sell us. But, you know, at least we're not normies. At least we're not just sitting around gobbling up whatever crap they're putting on a plate for us, you know? Oh, the terrorists have hit us. My gosh, now the terrorists have hit us again. And they were practically going after Trump. Look, it says Trump right there on the door. They're targeting my president. They're targeting Donald Trump. The terrorists, they're just getting emboldened. The terrorists are getting, I can't imagine it. You know, I would rather at least have the mindset where you're sorting these things out and trying to make sense of them. It can become a slog. It can become a work, and you can be tiring if you spend too much time on it, which I do not. And, you know, we theorize, and a lot, knowing that some of those theories are going to have to go out the window, that is BS, and you can discard that later. But that's okay. I will take that over, well, the terrorists have hit us. We've been hit twice now. What are we going to do? Where are we going to send the screaming eagle to bring democracy and justice and teach the world that you don't mess with America? We can't have Toby Keith do a new song. He dead now. We can't do courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue Iranian edition. They'll have to get somebody else because Toby Keith not with us. Unless that's a Mandela effect and I just thought he died. Maybe it's going to change and he ain't dead after all, but I think he dead. Anyway, the message, one thing message we can take for sure, 2025 we're starting off literally with a bang for 2025. It's going to be Clown World Supreme. The clown car is going into hyperdrive. I think that's something we can take from this safely. I think that's a conclusion we can safely make from all this. 2025, get ready. You thought things were crazy before. I think 2025 is going to be crazy on steroids. We may get COVID tier clownness out of all of this. We're just going to have to strap in and wait and see. We'll wrap up on that note. I hope you have a good weekend. I'll be back Monday with the Daily Nationalist for Monday. If you haven't had a chance, I hope you'll get a chance to go back and check out all our great content. We're kind of banging on all 8 cylinders again. We got Dr. Johnson back here. Well, we're not banging on 8 cylinders. We will not be banging on 8 cylinders until Sven gets back and fixes some of this mess. I had somebody email me. I haven't emailed him back. I'll try to get to it, asking about some part of the site, you know, that doesn't work. Look, there's a lot of parts of the site that don't work right. I know this, okay? It's just going to be that way until Sven gets back. I'm a Band-Aid guy. I'm not, you know, I there's been media reports, you know, that Grandpa Dan is running the site. Look, I'm Band-Aiding the site. I'm just posting up Matt and my shows. I know there's a lot of things that don't work. There's stuff that I didn't have access to that is expired and whatnot. And it just is what it is. And I apologize. I know Radio Albanside is not up snuff of what it once was. I know that. We're just trying to limp it. We're in limp mode. We're just trying to limp it back home. We're just easing down the shoulder on the rim, as they say. And when hopefully someday Sven will get back and be able to, you know, at least handle the technical side of things, and this thing can get back up to speed. We used to have multiple shows with different content creators on here. It was probably a lot more interesting. And, you know, we're just bear with us until he can get back. And anyway, things can get lined up. But if you didn't get a chance, I hope you'll get a chance to go back. The content we do have up, I think, is worth listening to. So I hope you'll get a chance to do that. Again, I'll see you back here on Monday. Keep the faith. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.